How was the retreat going for you?
Well, yesterday was the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And that, of course, is what I thought I might talk about today. That tremendous gift that we have from God as Catholics. And it really is a very Christian Catholic thing. But it actually is universal, that God wishes the forgiveness of his children's sins. And that plan of salvation and forgiveness is through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the central act of that salvation is the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that he would have given us the sacrament, which is the sacrament of reconciliation, and applied that to our souls. That's exactly what this sacrament is. After the sacrament of the Eucharist, which he gave us on the night before he died, when he gave us his body and blood, then right at the time he was risen from the dead, he appears to his apostles, and he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And in John, in the post-resurrection, chapter 20, verse 23, he says, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they will be forgiven." And he himself demonstrated that I have the power to forgive sin. Now, no one can forgive sin except God.
Mm-hmm.
The critics of Jesus in Mark 2, when he forgives the sin of the paralytic, Jesus says to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." And the Jews around who say, "This man blasphemes. Who but God can forgive sin?" And Jesus, in order to reveal to them that he has the power to forgive sin, and he does, he's the only one, because he's God himself, he says to the man, "Take up your mat and walk." So the physical cure was simply a confirmation of the spiritual cure that took place in the sinner's soul. And so Jesus on the cross, before he goes to heaven, says to the thief, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." He forgives the thief all his sins and assures him of eternal life. So this same sacrament is given to us in the sacrament of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Every Catholic is responsible, every Christian, because our sins are forgiven by baptism. And many in the early church thought when a person was baptized, they would never sin again. And that's really a mystery, that after
mm-hmm.
our sins are all forgiven, that we would go back to the trough of sin and get in that slop again. But we do. And we teach, and the Catholic Church teaches, that we have a weakened will and a darkened mind, so that we don't see clearly, and at times we fall into sin. And because of that darkness of our mind and the weakness of our will, we have and we do sin after baptism. And so we, after you're baptized and you're really going to make your first confession, and many of us have the practice of, before we make our first communion, because we have arrived at the use of reason, to be able to go into the confessional and for the first time receive the sacrament of reconciliation. And so all of us Catholics have been introduced to this sacrament, but I really think it's important to once in a while revisit that and what it is. I know when I was first instructed on this, we were told to go over the number of sins you had, those things you committed, those acts of sins, and the number of times you committed them, the nature of the sin that you committed, and then to, after you examine your conscience, to go into the confessional and to confess these to the priest, and that he would hear your confession and he would give you a penance, and then you would make an act of contrition, a sorrow for sin, and he would give you absolution for your sin, that forgiveness of sin that Jesus had given to the priest the power to do. And so when he raises his hand, this is what happens really in that sacrament. When he raises his hand in absolution, he makes the sign of the cross, which is the sign of Jesus on the cross, because it was through the cross that the forgiveness of sins came. Jesus died on the cross in the year 33. And when he died on the cross, because he was the Son of God, he looked back over all the ages. See, sin had been in the world from the time of Adam and Eve, from their brokenness. And all of mankind had been alienated from God. There was no union or reconciliation with God. That's why this is called the sacrament of reconciliation. Man, all of mankind, is reconciled to God through Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. So through his suffering and death on the cross, Jesus reconciles every single human being to God. We come and are reconciled. We have access to this power through the sacrament of reconciliation. And there we submit our sinfulness and we bring it before the Lord. And each one of us is encouraged to frequently come before the Lord and receive that absolution of the priest. Then we do what we call our act of contrition, tell God we're sorry, and we go out from the sacrament and we perform what we call an act of penance. This is how we celebrate this sacrament. But I really believe so many times, two things I think I'd like to pay attention to today with regard to that. And one is the examine of conscience. One of the ways by which we know we have sinned against God, and each of us has an indication of that, because it's inbuilt, it's just human, and that is guilt. Guilt helps us, and it's actually there in every human being. Every human heart, when it offends God, has a recorder of that in some way, that your conscience is guilty. You have offended God. You have separated yourself from God. So when you steal, when you're at work, you feel guilty. When you commit adultery, there's a guilt. When you watch pornography, it's like a hidden thing. When you cheat on a test, when you have unforgiveness in your heart for a member of your family or for someone, there's this feeling of nagging guilt. Guilt is that which helps you become aware there's something separating you from God. God wants you united with the heart of his Son. Baptism unites us with Jesus. Sin separates us from Christ. And so that union with God has been disconnected. And so God, because he loves us and knows that we're now separated from him, wants us to be reunited with his Son. And until we freely, in conscience and in sorrow and in a resolution not to offend God again, we come, and that's what reconciliation is. It's an act of sorrow for sin. It's a firm resolution. I'm not going to do this again. You know, if someone slaps you in the face and they say they're sorry, and you say, well, are you really sorry? Well, I feel like slapping you again. I will. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry that I did it, and I really take a firm resolution not to do it again. So the reunion with Christ, the separation that you had from God now comes back into peaceful reunion. One of the things that happens from the feeling of guilt to a sense of peace, this is not just for Catholics, but I think every human being, it's like a human awareness. I know the AA has a 12-step program, and one of the steps after they have the first three steps that unites you with God or someone of your higher power, we believe it's God, that in order to maintain that relationship of union with God that the third step prayer brings you to, is a fourth step. It's called the fourth step, and it's called fearless, searching moral inventory of my actions. And that is really a very deep and probing examination of my conscience, what I am doing and how I am carrying on my life. And it's fearless in the sense that I want to see what I'm doing to separate myself from God and from others. And then the fifth step, which is, again, a human trait. So, well, if I have sinned, why can't I just go directly to God? I hope you will. I hope you'll do that every day. You're called, when you have sinned, and for instance, if you're aware, especially in your evening prayer, that you have said something, done something, that you want to tell God that you're really sorry for that day. And so every day in your prayer, we should tell God. And so Catholics, and we ourselves, every time we celebrate the Eucharist, confess to God in a public way. We listen to the prayer of reconciliation or penance that we have in our penitential rite. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, and what I have failed to do. So all of us, we say things that are offensive and hurtful, that separate us from the Lord. We do things, our actions, our words, our actions, and those things that we fail to do, that we could have done, in my thoughts, I also can offend God. So the union with Christ, who let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, the separation of our minds when we judge people, the separation of our hearts when we condemn them in our hearts, and when we do things that offend them, and those things we could have done and actually are offensive that we didn't do. So every day, it would be certainly spiritually great and helpful for us to confess our sin to God and ask His forgiveness. But in a period of time, maybe every 2 weeks or so, to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, to just make a more thorough exam of our conscience, and then to bring that before God by going to confession. And the fifth step of the AA is to tell another human being about your moral inventory, so that it's human. It's not that you just can confess it to God directly, which I hope we do all the time, but it's also telling another person. And one of the things about that fifth step is, usually it's the sponsor of someone in AA who has a drug problem, or who has an alcohol problem, or Overeaters Anonymous. That sponsor is very much in confidentiality and always will maintain anonymity so that you will be governed and preserved from anyone knowing about what is done there. So too the sacrament of reconciliation is covered deeply by the confidentiality. In fact, the priest, even under the pain of death, can't reveal what he hears in the confessional. It is kept so confidential. So what a lovely opportunity we have here to go to have our sins forgiven, to be reconciled to God, and to come back into union with Jesus Christ. Yesterday, we had here at our retreat the sacrament of reconciliation, and we heard confessions for hours, which is really magnificent. All the retreatants having made a thorough search of their conscience and looking very deeply into their hearts. The marvel about a retreat is it's almost like they have been for days in the examination room. Those of you who've had to go to a hospital to have major surgery, you know, you go through x-rays, cardiograms, blood tests, MRIs, to know exactly where the wound is. If you discovered that you had a tumor on your breast and you didn't see a cardiologist, you'd be a fool, because you'll die of cancer. And when here on the retreat, during these days where the sisters examine their consciences and we're open to asking God and the Holy Spirit to reveal to them what it was that was separating them from Jesus, these are the moral wounds. These are the moral separations from God. These are the tumors. I usually call sin AIDS, spiritual AIDS. Mm-hmm. And there's only one remedy. In medicine, there is no, so far, no known remedy for AIDS. But in spirituality, the blood of Jesus Christ is the healing remedy for all sin. And so in the sacrament of reconciliation, when the priest raises his hand in absolution and makes the sign of the cross, the penitent, aware that this is where the wound is, holds that brokenness up to Jesus on the cross, and the blood of Jesus comes down, a healing, soothing, peace-forgiving remedy. And Jesus gave that to us. He gave it to us after his resurrection, before his ascension to heaven. Just as he gave us the Eucharist, take and eat, this is my body, take and drink, this is my blood. He gave us the sacrament of reconciliation before he ascended into heaven. That which will reconcile us and reunite us through this powerful gift. He gave it to the apostles, and it's now continued on in the church. How marvelous when we celebrated it here yesterday, and how much I would encourage anyone who is listening to take advantage of this marvelous, powerful sacrament. So many of us would travel miles and miles to go to a particular hospital for some kind of heart transplant or for some kind of remedy of an illness that we had. There is no healing for sin except the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is applied to us so freely and so beautifully in the sacrament of reconciliation. Padre Pio used to hear confessions 15, 18 hours a day. People would come. St. John Vianney equally would hear confessions all day long, all hours. This sacrament is so powerful. I encourage you, my brother priests, if you hear this, to administer it far more freely than sometimes it's used in the church today. I know a priest who decided that every day, from Monday to Saturday, he would be in the confessional from 12 to 4 in the afternoon. And it was really amazing. Lines and lines and lines of people for hours would come to that priest's confessional to make ourselves available to administer this magnificent sacrament which is given to us for the healing of God's people and for our own sanctification and reconciliation with God. Lay your hands gently upon us. Let their touch render you peace. Let them bring your forgiveness and healing. Lay your hands gently. Lay your hands. You were sent to heal the brokenhearted. You were sent to give sight to the blind. You desire to heal all our illnesses. Lay your hands gently. Lay your hands. God bless.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
You're so welcome.